Yeah, sorry. Oh. All right.
Just we'll fuck up at some point and make something funny happen.
Looking game. Now this is more visual art design and technical graphics. So we've got Evolve, Xenoblade Chronicles X, Ori and the Blind Forest, Project Cars, The Witcher 3, Yoshi's Woolly World, Mad Max, Battlefront, MGS5, Until Dawn, and Bloodborne.
Okay, so because there's so many, can we just say what we think? Each of us should list what we think should win.
Okay. Good call.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Battlefront.
Okay, Metal Gear Solid 5 with Witcher 3 as a runner-up.
I think the only thing Metal Gear Solid 5 has going for it in terms of its favorite-looking game is its animations.
And 60 frames.
Yeah, which is nice. That's true.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about.
Consoles.
Animations. I can yield on that. Animations.
Okay, let's get Mad Max out of there.
Witcher 3 has many beautiful aesthetic designs, but...
Evolve, get it out of there.
Evolve.
Get the fuck... Out. Evolve, fuck that.
It looks alright. It looks alright.
It looks
But yeah, you're right. Fuck that shit.
I really love the look of Ori and the Blind Forest.
I do too.
Me too.
And I would even be willing to...
I would put it close.
I would put it in my runner-up. I would say Battlefront first for me, and Ori and the Blind Forest.
Xenoblade Chronicles has some of the coolest looking world design that I've ever seen in my life.
It does.
Based off what I've seen on the images, I want to draw that, then that says a lot to me.
Let's get Project Cars off there. It's a technical marvel, but
I mean, okay, so
Xenoblade
Battlefront
is impressive because it can run that on the Wii U
really well,
and the draw distance
and it's fucking huge. Yes, exactly.
You can see like the mist spray from a waterfall from like a fucking mile away from a cliff. It's ridiculous.
It has a really good scale too.
Yes, it does.
Which is I love in games. But man, Battlefront is a fucking...
It's the only good thing about the game.
Yeah, I mean, I would say
and the
that
audio design, if we ever had an award for that.
We should have.
I feel like favorite looking should be favorite aesthetics, maybe. Because then it's visual and audio.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I should have brought
that's
that
up fair. Fair. Are we in live changes to the category?
Yeah, sure. Favorite aesthetic. I mean, is that okay?
I mean, this is favorite aesthetic.
Aesthetic. I like the aesthetics.
Aesthetic.
In that case, I'm definitely giving it to Battlefront.
Battlefront's audio design, I think, is actually like a marvel in...
It's incredible.
In audio engineering, I feel like EA must have hired some really impressive name to... The audio design thing is ridiculous.
I think that DICE is just like, incredible and nobody got...
DICE has always done...
They just haven't got their due because they've always been doing a Warzone, which you hear constantly and you don't really think about because it's just explosions and gunshots. Yeah. But if you really take a step back and even go back and play like Bad Company 1, the stuff they were doing with the sound design in that game was fucking incredible. I mean, the guns sounded different indoors and outdoors and... I mean, just all kinds of amazing stuff that was way ahead of its time. And Battlefront was just like, to me, their crowning achievement because they're using sound effects that...
I feel like that was like all they were working on. It's like what they just dumped maybe, everything into.
But damn, they did a fucking good job.
I feel like they deserve something for that. Just that disappointing game.
And Ori and the Blind Forest, I mean, that... It was
Ori and the Blind Forest,
I didn't play it. So
I'd almost eliminate Ori and the Blind Forest in favor for Xenoblade. I love the way that world looks.
I really love it.
It looks so cool.
The look of Xenoblade Chronicles is, to me, like the most fascinating thing about it for somebody that doesn't play those games. I mean, when I look at the game, I want to play it.
Yeah, exactly. I knew nothing about the game. When I saw screenshots, I was like, fuck, I have to play this game.
Yeah,
when like, Johnny, like, I just want to explore this world and run up. I love spire or like arcing rock formations that go across the map.
And yeah,
well, that's why I like the Final Fantasy 15 demo.
But then you get to like the desert where there's colossal tombs.
I've seen one fucking
one of five.
Yeah, in that place, and it's already been like this. Some of the coolest like world design that I've ever seen.
I feel like
that
should have been favorite world.
Probably.
The aesthetic is good, but there's a lot of like monster designs in Xenoblade that are ripoffs, and there's a lot of really shitty monster designs.
Okay.
I feel like Bloodborne beats Xenoblade. As wonderful as Xenoblade is, and as worth mentioning as it is, the world is incredible. The graphical fidelity for a Wii U game is incredible. But Bloodborne has some of the best monster designs and world design I've ever seen. The monster design in Bloodborne, every single thing.
Monster design in Bloodborne is second to none.
It's probably the best ever.
Grotesque and disturbing.
And Witcher 3's monster design was also wonderful. Monster in Witcher 3 was great.
Witcher 3 just, like, it was a good-looking game. It just didn't, like...
I can't give it to Witcher 3 as much as I love the aesthetic.
It's a good-looking game.
It
didn't do anything that like stood out to me as blowing me. It didn't blow me away.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does. But it didn't do anything like special. Yeah. I guess
the design of the crones,
Skellige,
and stuff.
God.
And Skellige. Yeah, it's hard to say no to Witcher 3.
This is a hard one.
I love the
world. I just can't.
I'm looking at all of these ones, and I don't want to.
Battlefront just deserves it. It just needs something.
Can we call Battlefront winner?
I'm fine with that.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So
runner up.
I mean,
a 10-way tie.
Yeah.
I think we should cut Ori out of it because I don't think any of us really played it much.
I did.
Did you?
I played a little bit of it. I remember that quick let's play.
I bought it when it came out and never played it. I
played like 2 hours of it. It's gorgeous. Like, it's so sexy. The art is...
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Dude, I think that...
Sexy.
That's why I bought the game, but...
I think that... for me, that's runner-up. I don't know what you guys feel. I mean, that game is...
I think it's Bloodborne for me.
I think... Ori is just more...
I'd probably give it to Ori. I'm a sucker for that art style, and I loved it. Like, from the moment I saw it, I fell in love with that game just for
I love the way it looked, too, but you said you thought it was more...
I feel like it's more... I guess it's not really...
I just felt like Bloodborne's aesthetic was more unique, whereas...
It was.
I was just...
But the thing about Bloodborne...
I've never seen anything like Bloodborne.
The thing about Bloodborne is...
Fucking hairy monsters.
I wasn't as interested in Bloodborne until I started getting into it. Ori is just immediately appealing to me from the moment I saw like the first glimpse into that game because it was so gorgeous.
Yeah. Because on a technical level, it's stunning, and the palette is...
But on an artistic level, too, it's stunning.
It is. But the design still... Like, I still feel like I've seen a game that looks like that before.
Well, you've seen Dust and Elysian Tail.
It doesn't look...
That's what you've seen. That looks very similar to Ori in the Blind Forest.
Except with furries.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Let's take Xenoblade Chronicles
off. Let's take Xenoblade out. This is a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
We'll take out Witcher.
Yeah.
As hard as...
Yeah.
So we got...
Ori and the Blind Forest and Bloodborne is the runner-up. Phil?
Okay.
What are you?
I'm perfectly fine with that. We love...
Which
is the runner-up?
I'm perfectly fine with the two. And you've raved so much about Bloodborne, and I've seen a lot of it, but Ori was really great as well. I'm gonna go with Ori.
Okay.
I feel good with
Ori
that.
Runner up.
Yeah, Battlefront runner for best or favorite aesthetic. Now it is, which just leads us to our next category, which is biggest leap forward from a sequel or spiritual successor. We have Witcher 3, Bloodborne, Xenoblade Chronicles X, and MGS 5.
You could make a great argument for MGS 5.
I'm going to say MGS 5 wins this for me.
Although Witcher 2 to Witcher 3.
Witcher 2 to Witcher 3.
I don't think that's as big as a jump.
Oh, it's huge.
Dude!
Here's the thing. I am pleasantly surprised. I thought you wanted to bump MGS5 off. But
no, that's his biggest leap. It's from sequel.
Okay. MGS5 is a great fucking game.
From playing
MGS5 is...
That's fine. That is awesome. But I was going to say, I lost my train of thought.
Okay. You had a whole rant prepared, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
Look up your notes.
I was forgot waiting. That we liked the gameplay.
Yeah, I was waiting.
You're ready to cut all of our throats and talk for 5 hours your fucking crazy manifesto into this.
That's his manifesto.
Yeah. So to me, Witcher 3 wins this one far and wide. Metal Gear Solid is my runner up. Witcher 3 wins it because Witcher 2, you play it. And when it came out, I was feeling, man, I can't wait for this game to get open world. Like, yeah, I just felt like
very KOTOR shit.
I felt like it was going to happen. Like Witcher 3 was like 5 times more than what I expected it to be, and it was what I dreamed Witcher 2 would be. Yeah. And then so.
Think about this though. Think about Metal Gear Solid 4 and how it was, and then think about the game that Metal Gear Solid 5 is.
Yes, but so
think about the research. Think about think about the open world. Also, open world. Think about the Think about the just shooting. Think about
for me, Metal
the
Gear
controls.
Solid,
think about the controls. Think about the recon.
The controls. First of all, the gameplay of Witcher 3, the controls of Witcher 3, all those things are greatly enhanced. All the complaints from there are a lot. I mean, we played Witcher 2 right before Witcher 3. There's a lot of shitty stuff that was almost. Like, for its time, it was great, because 2010. But, now it's whoa, that's a huge leap.
Yeah.
Metal Gear, the controls are amazing. They're some of the best gameplay and combat and action ever. But I prefer... I don't love the shift to an open world and to the grindiness. So, while there's a lot of 5 that I loved... There's a lot of 5 that I did not love that they gained. But I do feel like I can applaud them, even in that regard, for thinking outside the box and trying something new. But there were things that
you
didn't
have
work,
to. You can also, because there are certain things that you can do in MGS5 that you probably wouldn't have been able to do in 4. There's a lot of things in Witcher 3 that you could have done in Witcher 2.
Well, you couldn't do anything in Metal Gear Solid, in any of them, that you could do in any of the other ones because they're so different.
Let me say
this. It's not entirely true.
Let me say this. Witcher 2 to Witcher 3 felt like... Okay, so Witcher 3 felt to me like Witcher 2 just expanded greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Solid 5 compared to Metal Gear Solid... any other game felt like it changed the fundamental design of the game.
The design of MGS5.
It had driving.
Yeah, it allowed for so many options.
Yes,
so many options that even in a franchise like MGS, like Metal Gear Solid, that's known for its different ways to tackle encounters, different ways to tackle situations. 5 brought in so much more
freedom,
of that, and it brought in.
So in that sense, and I agree, this is the biggest leap forward, rather than biggest change. So Metal Gear Solid's arcadey gameplay. So it went from arcadey gameplay formula that was perfected, by the way. Mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid 3 as an arcadey stealth story driven game is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It is the perfect game.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 4 as a heavily story-driven, action stealth, war stealth, worked really well. But 3 is still, to me, the perfect game design. Metal Gear Solid 5, to refresh it all, like he always does, changed everything. It is now, as a game, completely different. It goes into the ideas of what Metal Gear is, changes it.
Mm-hmm.
But... change isn't always good. So while I applaud every single change he made from an artistic standpoint, from a refreshing standpoint, I didn't like half of them.
Some of it
was
to
the other half of them so much. Witcher 3, though, I can't think of anything it did wrong.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid definitely, some of the changes were a detriment, I feel like.
I
agree. I think I could see... Metal Gear Solid being the runner-up.
I would totally give it the runner-up. Huge runner-up.
Yeah.
Because the gameplay is so fucking fun.
Yeah.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, I would actually say, was a downgrade in some areas.
So is this Witcher 3 winner MGS5 runner-up?
That's my picks. I think that's...
I'm fine with that.
Okay with that?
Submit.
Okay. Phil's looking for... Phil, yeah, Johnny just made a really good point. Because you're gonna have to bring some heat to sway me back.
I really love Metal Gear Solid 5 from a change standpoint, but we're talking about leap forward.
Yeah. I think if it wasn't for the ending, if it had been a satisfactory ending, I think it would have been a leap forward.
No, that's not true, because I don't like.
This isn't so much about story stuff.
It's not story. This is gameplay.
But there's
this,
a lot of things about the way the game is made that you don't like that I love. I love the tape cassette shit.
I don't dislike that.
That's why it's the runner-up.
Yeah.
Is it a bigger leap forward?
He said it really well. And there are things that step forward in MGS5, but there's also things that step back. I feel like
we can talk about that later. I know we're there. Are you gonna?
No, dude, this is the forum to do it.
Are you serious? Because you're not gonna put MGS5 in your most disappointing game?
What?
We're talking about biggest leap forward.
I know. Okay.
We have
because this was meant for most disappointing game.
Well, it is the most disappointing game.
He wrote an essay.
One's most disappointing game.
Okay, that's a talking point.
Let me ask you this, Phil.
No, there's no talking to that.
There's Metal Gear Solid 5. A bigger leap from Metal Gear Solid 4 than Witcher 3 is to Witcher 2.
I think it is a big leap forward. You know what? It is a big leap. It's a big leap, but yeah, okay, fine. Witcher is just a little bit bigger.
Witcher 3 wins.
Metal Gear Solid 5 is still a leap.
That's why it's running around.
We just argued that, dude.
No, he said that it was a change. It wasn't necessarily a leap.
No, I said that's not a leap. But that is, it is
so true. You're drunk again.
Yeah. It is true.
No, one sip of beer, dude. And you're just...
one sip got
you're just
wasted.
Gang raping.
Metal Gear Solid's like...
just in general.
It just changed the game completely.
It's your outlook.
Like I said, Metal Gear Solid 3 is perfect for what the formula was trying to do. They changed the formula, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And some of it was some of the best I've ever played.
Johnny,
are you hearing that? Some of the best I've ever fucking played!
I hear it.
It's great!
Okay, that's okay. That's
Jeez, Phil just got real mad.
Biggest leap forward is Witcher 3 with MGS5 runner-up. Best HD remake. We got Devil May Cry 4 HD, Gears of War, whatever the fuck it is. Grim Fandango remastered, Resident Evil 1 HD, also remastered. Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection. Take Gears of War off. Take Devil May Cry off.
No, and I'll explain why. Okay.
I don't want to hear it. Take them off.
No.
Okay.
Gears of War 1, best Gears of War game in the series.
Wrong.
I think it's way better.
Unequivocally.
Perfect.
You're wrong. No, multiplayer is the best.
Amazing.
Well, okay. That doesn't matter. Why didn't they
Gears of War campaign.
Why didn't they make all three of them?
Yeah, why didn't they? That would have been so much better.
I don't care because I don't like 2 and 3 that much.
The stories were fun, though. I mean, that would have been cool.
Oh, yeah, but...
for someone that hasn't, like, that wants to play the campaign...
If you go back to Gears of War 1, there actually are more dated elements. Like, 2 looked a lot better visually. Even though 1 is so surprising, it's 06. There's a lot that could be improved with the visuals, so they
Uncharted 1 was 07.
They beefed it up.
Just saying.
Uncharted 1 way needed the...
Okay, can we delete Devil May Cry at least then?
Okay, let me explain why Devil May Cry...
So, are you fucking me?
All right. No, at least let me tell you what these are. You don't even know what Devil May Cry 4 HD is.
Yes, they goddamn do!
They added playable characters.
I know! I know all of this!
They made the game better.
That doesn't change the fact that it's fucking stupid.
Why is it stupid? Because they made a great game better. Do you not like Devil May Cry 4?
Devil May Cry 4 is besides 2.
1 was not... Okay,
1,
one
was
not
a way different game, and it was fucking great.
For its time.
I literally just played it like a week ago.
I played it when the HD remake...
Well, fuck you, I played it a week ago.
It was a year ago.
Devil May Cry 4 does not belong on this list.
3 is the best, 4 is the second best, and if they added stuff
to
4...
what would you say take
it's
off?
It's great. Well, okay, so I would say take off Devil May Cry 4.
You goddamn...
I just wanted to talk about why I thought it was good. It was good.
That's fair. It added a lot
to... like, I don't want to... because I think these are all good for a reason. Like, you had the worst idea... you had Gears of War on there, but I thought it was great because it brings back Gears of War 1's... multiplayer to servers.
That's
and
fair.
PC players that's can fair. Join in now. So to me, that's a big deal because I want
to
play it.
Devil May Cry 4 to me was just weird.
Yeah. It is fucking weird. They're all fucking weird.
Well, the HD collection, though, who is asking for a Devil May Cry 4 HD to come out to be re-released on? Because it's a game...
It was divisive when it came out, and
it's
now
a
it's
game
like,
that needed more. Because, like, it was cut short, and it didn't have, like, enough
thing where you just replay the levels.
Yeah, and so this added, like, Virgil, added some cool new levels, it added some new modes, and a new difficulty. I think if you're going to do an HD remake, that's how you do it.
Can we take Gears of War off?
We can take Gears of War off. I just wanted to speak my piece as why that wasn't one of the worst. Grim Fandango is my winner. Resident Evil 1 looks gorgeous.
I think Resident Evil 1, they did a really good job with the remaster.
Yeah,
I feel like you have a case for Uncharted, or do you not?
They did a lot of good work with the Uncharted.
They did. I mean, it's just.
I feel like they did a lot. I feel like they did probably the most. I don't know the technical behind the Resident Evil 1, but I feel like when I saw that, I was like, this looks fucking incredible.
Resident Evil 1 looks incredible. It makes a really ugly game very playable to newcomers.
Yeah.
Grim Fandango, as an HD remake, it's alright. As a... but the thing that is the best part about Grim Fandango's remake is, I gotta actually play
it. It's commentary.
Because you cannot fucking play it.
Yeah.
It's not compatible on anybody's PCs. We needed this desperately for one of the best games ever made. The soundtrack is phenomenal in Grim Fandango. It's one of my favorite video game soundtracks ever made. For the remastered, they took it fully orchestral.
That's pretty cool. I like that. That's the kind of shit that makes a good HD remake, is when they actually take stuff like that and meaningfully
up-res the graphics.
They up-res the graphics. There's actually some technical bugs with it, but you could... In the past, you had to play the game like Resident Evil with tank controls. You have to rotate your character. And there's an option to turn that off. Actually, it starts with it turned off. But you can get a trophy called Tim Schafer Made Me Do It or something. If you beat the entire game.
Thanks, you're the best, man.
With tank controls.
Thanks, you're the best thing ever.
I got that trophy.
I'm hearing this as Grim Fandango wins Resident Evil 1 runner-up.
They did a lot of good
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that.
The Nathan Drake collection.
What do they do? Maybe I don't know.
Well, I mean, they completely, like, retextured a lot of the game.
Oh,
especially the first one. I mean, because the three games share textures across the games to make them all fit on one disc.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, a tremendous amount of work that went into...
Especially
one. And, I mean, they look incredible. They run so fucking well. There isn't a single... I beat them all back to back to back, and there isn't a single point in the game where the frame rate dipped under 60. Yeah. I mean, and you think about, like, some of the bombastic shit from those games. For that, like, on one disc, three games remastered, all running at 60 frames.
I didn't know it was three games on one disc.
They look better than some of the PS4 games out there, honestly. And I think that it was an incredibly well-done package. Bluepoint is just fantastic at doing remasters.
I think one of the things that I think Johnny brought up is that Grim Fandango brought a game that you couldn't really play into a state where it was playable and
That's
better.
True.
Resident Evil 1 brought a game that was very ugly and very kind of unplayable back into a kind of playable state for newcomers to experience.
That's fair.
I feel like those may have
most important.
Done more than the Nathan Drake collection. Not saying that that's a bad...
No,
I think
the Nathan Drake collection's rebuff of the first game is something I wish that I'd played.
Yeah.
On a technical level.
They just
level.
Made a really good-looking game look better rather than a game that looks like dog shit like Resident Evil 1. That's fair. I'm okay with Resident Evil 1 taking the...
There's a lot of value to HD remakes that we're kind of figuring out. Like, at first it was a cheap, you know, rip-off.
Yeah.
Now it's becoming this thing where it's like, oh shit, I can play that. That's how I played all the Metal Gears, and that collection for $20 was some of the best money
There's a lot of good things that HD remakes can do. I feel like they can be abused, though.
They are in a lot of ways.
Like the 3D cinema re-releases of movies like Star Wars Episode 1. Like, it was a trend that started ugly, but I think it's getting better.
It's getting there.
This year was pretty solid. I think all the ones we listed had good reasons to buy
Uncharted. I mean, there's so many people I see online that bought a PS4 after only having an Xbox, and they never played the games. They heard about them and wanted to play them, and now they can. And for that reason, I think HD remakes are That's the stuff they need to do.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
They shouldn't be remaking shit like God of War 3 and selling it on its own.
Fuck yes. Thank you.
The game is already visually impressive in a way, but adding 1080p doesn't do shit.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so it's Grim Fandango with runner-up Resident Evil 1.
Oh, I got excited. I thought
is that what we've decided?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Johnny, I gotta say, you are coming away looking pretty good on this so far. I mean, a lot of Johnny's picks have made it to the top.
Well, you're good at. I mean, you're good at. You're
well
good
done, at selling. Johnny. Yeah. Well
done. I'm gonna become a car salesman. After
you should. That. You really should. You could make a lot.
You could make a lot of money swindling people.
Yeah.
Out of
just sell your money Mercedes to some poor fucking some high school girl.
$12,000.
Sell it to a family who's barely making it.
Look how shiny this is. It's so
lease
shiny.
It to them. All right.
Favorite atmosphere. We've got Bloodborne, Mad Max, Sunless Sea, Undertale, MGS5, Rainbow Six Siege. Believe it or not. Or in the Blind Forest and Soma.
Johnny, do me a favor and explain to me why you added Siege. Because I agree with you. I just want to hear you sell it.
So, this game is one of the most intense games I've ever played. Mm-hmm. You get in multiplayer, and it's so tactically important to use heavy, heavy teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Because there's only six
people. Five people on
each team. So you are very relied upon.
So while you're sitting, you're either A, nerve-wrackingly trying to, you know, follow your way through a big facility and hope to God that you don't turn the corner and you get blown to smithereens. Or B, this is my atmosphere point, you are huddled in to your place. You just hear the sounds of people putting up, just boarding shit up. Because you know they're coming.
Yeah.
They're coming. And you they haven't found you. The 30 seconds have passed. You haven't been discovered. Oh, God, but they could be, which direction could they be coming from? You have no idea.
And meanwhile, you hear a distant explosion.
Yeah. Just fate, just
yeah.
And you're like, oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then, and, you know, one of your guys is outside, like, crouched behind a table. He gets taken out. But which direction? All of a sudden they come through the goddamn ceiling, you're like, ah!
I can see that. I can totally see that.
It's so incredibly tense.
And it never gets old. It's so, from a gameplay standpoint, it builds its atmosphere, but the audio design is also very good.
Yes.
So, just for gameplay atmosphere, like, I had a thing to say about it. I don't know if I'd say that that's the best, but I thought that was a unique take on it. And so, yeah, Stryker, you
have does Sunless Sea win this category?
I think it.
You've told me, I'm fine with that.
You even sold me on Sunless Sea as a great atmosphere before we got to this category.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just, it's...
Undertale had a
you know,
fantastic
you know, what's sticking in my head, though, the thought of the guy just tearing the paper before he's in a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, that haunts me. Like,
just, I didn't play, I played like 10% of that game.
Yeah. I mean that so it sounds cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds incredibly fascinating.
I'm gonna play it now.
You can load your ship up with fuel and just sail out and just skip like tons of stuff that you see and just pick some random place, some destination far out, and just know that there's all this stuff behind you and there's just so much stuff.
I like it.
Yeah,
so
anyway, yeah.
What's the runner up?
You know, I feel like it'd be a crime to not give it to Bloodborne. But Soma had a great atmosphere.
See, I haven't played Soma, but I feel like everything I've seen lends itself to being a really strong atmosphere.
Creators of Amnesia, that's what they're masters
they do.
At.
But
I haven't played enough to really, like, sell you on it. So, and really? Undertale actually does have a great atmosphere, but, again, I just don't know enough to pick it.
Okay.
So we take those out. Metal Gear had great atmosphere in like
you can get it, bro. That's fine.
The key, I will credit the atmosphere of when you first awaken Sahelanthropus.
Mm-hmm. That's the scariest shit I've ever seen.
Oh my god!
Mastercraft, right there. One of the best Metal Gear moments ever.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the acts in Chapter 2.
Yeah,
that one we won't talk about. Yeah. Stryker needs to play it.
That made me almost tear up, dude.
Oh,
dude.
Oh
yeah.
That was
so good.
If you are listening to this and you played it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So we can take some off. And then it's between Bloodborne and Siege. I think Bloodborne has to win.
Yeah, Bloodborne. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be Bloodborne.
I thought it was fun to talk about Siege, but...
It deserves to be mentioned for that reason, but it's
like, got
to
be Bloodborne. If that idea, if that kind of thing, you know, interests you, and you're maybe not the biggest multiplayer gamer, I think that...
Yeah.
Because that's why I bought
it. If you ever are in the mood to piss off four other people... incredibly bad. Play Siege.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So for favorite atmosphere, we got Bloodborne as runner-up, and Celestia is the winner. And here we get to biggest disappointment. We have Halo 5, Metal Gear Solid 5, Fallout 4, Battlefront, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5, Hotline Miami 2, and Rock Band 4.
Now, Phil, this is what I'm going to do.
Hold on.
Before you talk.
No, I got to make my case
first. No, shut the fuck up.
You're not going to make your case yet. Okay, disappointment, as in, not bad necessarily.
Yes.
Why is Tony Hawk 5 on there then?
Because it's the biggest fucking disappointment. Because
I actually don't care.
It's a crappy game.
It's a disappointment.
You walked into that cave, and what was in it was what you brought with you, man.
You're arguing against your point.
What?
Because I'm saying Tony Hawk 5 is my winner for this category. You fuck up.
I thought that Tony Hawk series. Dug its own grave.
Oh, absolutely! But this was like
this could have been the reboot.
For me, this was like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. This is not Underground. This is not bullshit.
It's Project Pro Skater 5.
Pro Skater 5. I was like, oh my fucking god! You remember how much I played Tony Hawk?
I do. I remember like how much you played.
Those were some of my favorite games on PS2. Like literally, That is my biggest disappointment.
So I think that is a good one. Mm-hmm. Hotline Miami 2 is a great one because that one's baffling. I love Hotline Miami to death.
It's so simple. How do you fuck it up?
By doing fucking nothing.
Fucking top rum and you boil the water.
Yeah.
Fuck. What is made by this one guy? He's a genius at level design, and somehow he fucked up every level.
I mean,
and it took years for him to make it too. There's so many delays, and it's like now you know why he like was like, oh shit, people like the game I made. So that one's a great one as well. Rock Band 4 promised a big comeback.
It just hasn't been long enough for this genre.
I agree. I love rhythm games. I think that rhythm games are still good in Japan, but American rhythm games... They got
Activisioned.
Well,
I think Live is pretty good.
Guitar Hero Live is good.
Yeah, I think Live is...
It looks so stupid, and it turned out well.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
How the fuck did they do it?
Yeah.
So, anyways, Rock Band was balls.
I just mean in general, I don't think that they gave this genre long enough time to sleep.
Let's take Fallout 4 and Halo 5 off this list.
I Fallout 4 is my winner.
Is it really?
Wow.
I don't like it at all. After 35 hours, I've gotten really... sour.
It took 35 hours to not like it at all.
Well, okay, so I'm a huge Bethesda fan.
You hate everything.
Fucking kidding me?
Anyone listening to this podcast? 200
hours into Morrowind, 250 hours into Oblivion, 100 hours in Skyrim. Fallout 3 was my most anticipated game ever at that time. New Vegas, loved to death. Fallout 4 and Skyrim, though. Have not done it for me, and to me, Fallout 4 is great in many ways. It has a lot of initial appeal, but what matters to me the most in Bethesda games is quest design.
Yeah, every
quest in Fallout 4 crushed me.
Let's take Rock Band, Hotline Miami 2, and Battlefront off the list. How's that?
That's fair. Battlefront.
Rock Band. I just need.
I feel like this is just the thing we have to remember. This is like ours as a group, and none of us. Like, have a huge, like, monumental reverence for any of those franchises?
No.
So Battlefront was, like, it was like Hotline Miami, where it's like, I thought they'd do it. I thought the internet was wrong.
Yeah.
But, turns out, no content, so. And the content that is there is just, like...
It's a fun game, though.
For 4 hours. But then once you've done it all, it's like somebody said, there's only a few maps... Which could work for like Battlefield because you could do all this cool shit in Battlefield, but you can't do the cool shit in Battlefront.
Right. It's shallow. It's just a shallow game.
So, but yeah, so that's that.
Fallout 4 is nowhere near for me on this
for
list.
For me, it's by far.
If me neither. I mean, I haven't played it as much as you guys because I halted while I beat some other games, but at no point when I was playing for the hours I played was I thinking it was exactly what I wanted it to be. I mean, for me, I wasn't.
I don't know.
I guess it just depends on your expectations.
I'm just really experienced in not to discredit anything, but I've beat Fallout 1 and 2. I fucking love New Vegas. Fallout 3 I love because I was a lot younger when I played it, but now my opinion towards it is kind of soured. But, you know, those games mean so much to me, and quest design means so much to me. And that was Bethesda's strong point, is quests that interact with the world well. And they've somehow, like, really lost their minds when it comes to that.
It's funny to me, because I feel like you were kind of soured on Fallout 4 before it even came out, so I don't...
Yeah, because I didn't like what they did with Skyrim. I saw...
But were you really disappointed? Because it almost seems like the game was what you thought it was going to be.
As soon as I got back into Fallout 4, I was like, oh, and I got excited again. And so it's like disappointment in the sense that it's crushing to watch Bethesda, what was my number one.
I can
just go tank to the point where it is now is not what I ever liked it for. But, I mean, yes, there are elements about Fallout 4 that are good. Just like there are so many things about Metal Gear Solid 5 that are good.
I'm going to say,
yeah.
For me, I can get down with Fallout 4. It's hard to decide a winner on this because we're all so different.
And so,
for me, the winner would be Tony Hawk, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, I was never a huge Tony Hawk fan, so I can't say.
A disappointment is a very personal thing. I mean, I don't know if we can pick an overall winner for this category.
The biggest emotional disappointment I've ever felt in a game was Metal Gear. But I don't want to give it to it, though. Like,
no, I don't think Metal Gear deserves it.
And I know that, Phil, you wrote out this huge thing because you don't want us to pick that. And I agree. I don't want to pick
it. I don't think we're going to
really
pick
don't
it.
Want
I think
to
that's
pick
a good
it.
Game.
Even if I feel that it deserves it,
it's not the best game of the year.
It's not. No, it's a disappointment for me.
The emotion of I was expecting these things, and instead I got these things that I didn't like.
It's a disappointment for me just from what I know. Having
I mean, just
beat
just overall, just like I played that game for 90 hours, and I had a great fucking time the whole time. I finished it. I did like everything. Looking back, it is a disappointment. That doesn't mean I didn't like it. Okay,
yeah, it's not the worst game. Ever.
Yes, you can like a disappointment.
It's, yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's biggest emotion here, you know, which is it's a feeling. It's not like a. But they did this. It's
I
like,
mean, that's for, a, that's, for me, that's Metal Gear okay. Solid has to be. I mean, it's a.
It was
it's
my
a series
second most
that,
hyped game ever.
It's it was mine too.
Maybe it does win.
I'm just. They're just trying to. Oh god!
I'm not trying. What am I trying to do?
Here's the thing: is that everything about it, except for the ending, I'm perfectly content with. No, you're right. You're right. The ending was bad. The ending said.
Realize that this is not saying worst game. This is not saying bad game.
There's too many good things about it, though.
That's not fair. The ending is what you're left with, though.
As a whole, I'm looking at these things as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And now, this is the fifth game in a series that we've grown up with.
Yeah.
I could personally critique the fact that I feel that I never wanted it to be that long. I didn't need the game to have that much stuff in it. I didn't need to return to every destination 5 to 6 times in the game world.
Just,
and I know
that thing.
You enjoyed that.
I think that
that's just, not what I expect.
It's just it was the ending that did a lot of created a lot of problems for me. But as a whole, I was very satisfied with it.
Yeah, they did good. I am glad.
That's fair.
Yeah,
because that's not what the category is about.
Yeah.
It's
I was,
about like
but it's,
a technical like. It was more like what was promised and what was delivered.
You were let
thing,
down
is that
by
my
yeah.
imagination went wild.
But here's the thing: is the ending was something that I
we're
saw
talking,
coming.
We're not talking about the ending. We're talking about the entire package.
I was disappointed by the entire package. How could your hype for the game been so much higher than mine?
It wasn't.
Like,
but I think there was problems with the design of the game.
Yeah.
What was one of the problems?
First of all, it was too long. There was just so many
the side ops
were pointless. That I think that the overall open world was a kind of a detriment. It opened up a lot of things, but I think that there was so it caused there to be I found myself bored a lot playing Metal Gear because I found that I had to... There was no reliable way to get to places quickly, so I had to get on a horse or find a fucking truck or airdrop one in, wait for it to come, and then drive for 5 minutes to my next destination. I'm just saying I was bored a lot playing
the game. Let me ask you this, Phil. How... I guess I'm just curious. How can you play the game to the end and get the ending that... Get that ending and still look back fondly on... I'm just curious, because I because when I hear how it ended, I'm just like, I would be so let down by that, like crushed, that I went through hours and hours of this game just to get to that.
But that isn't even it for me. Like, because there was more to the ending.
Let me answer that. Because I feel better now in retrospect. If I after giving it time, I can still play it and I can still really love it. I can still play, and I can still accept the ending. It's not my favorite ending.
I can accept the ending too.
It washes over.
Yeah,
it washes over well enough that it screws Metal Gear as a series. But I felt like the ending, in its own, it fit the weird ass story that whatever Five was going for. It's just not what I wanted. That to me was a very big disappointment. But and I know some people that still like that. Metal Gear, what worked and what didn't work is definitely goes down to opinion. I do think, though, that there was a lot of bad moves. But so hear me out. I explained this once. My dream Metal Gear Solid 5 was keep the combat, keep the engine, everything. Wonderful. But have 10 Ground Zeroes with you could go back to like two idea. Side missions in each of them. But the side missions are important. They do like a little bit of world building. That way, you have like a 30-hour game. You can have more opportunities to add cool gameplay moments like the Sahelanthropus coming alive.
More variety.
You can make it feel still just as open because Ground Zeroes felt just as open. Like, Ground Zeroes was my most favorite mission as like a stealth mission in 5. And there were some that came close, but the openness of 5, I felt like, kind of hurt what they were going for because in the end, by the end of the game, I got so overpowered. I had so many gadgets and gizmos and crazy guns, which is cool and it's fun toys. But you're grinding to get more and to make the game more and more easy so that you can redo the content but make it easier. And I just didn't see the point. But it's not that it wasn't entertaining because I did it. You know, I beat all 207 or 170 side missions and stuff. And I had a wonderful time. Some of the best game experiences I've had this year were in that game. But it just felt... It felt like Kojima's dream mega game. And with every idea that's so colossal, while I respect everything that went into that, even the fucking ending, I respect it. I respect even the things I didn't like because they're different and they're weird. Like grinding to disarm a nuke doesn't sound fun at all. This sounds fucking stupid, because you have to, like, grind well... I mean, I finished every side mission. You have to deep grind after that to disarm these nukes. That sounds horrendous, but it's cool. Like it's admirable. Yeah, nobody's doing it.
It's hard for fans of the series to look at what could have been and not be disappointed by 5.
Let me break this down for you guys. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. Tony Hawk... A beloved franchise for many, 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 many years. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 comes along. People are like, oh, fuck. And then they're like, then they start seeing it and they're like, oh, wait, maybe. But, oh, there's still hope that it'll come back and, like, there'll be a resurgence.
Graphics don't matter.
And we'll feel like kids again and everything. Comes out, biggest fucking pile of garbage that you've ever seen. How is that not the biggest disappointment?
I would say it was probably one of the worst games of 2015.
Yeah. But isn't it insulting to have Metal Gear Solid 5 right behind that?
We're not saying qualitative. We're not saying this is not
it's not the worst game.
A measure of quality. This is a measure of disappointment.
If we were considering Metal Gear Solid 5 with Pro Skater in the worst game category, we should just kill each other. Right now.
I would kill
because Metal Gear Solid 5 is a wonderful game.
Yes,
in fact,
it's just not. Yeah. We're talking about disappointment in these elements that we.
I still feel like Metal Gear Solid 5. You could make a case for it being the best game of the year in a lot of ways. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a disappointment.
When we get down to best gameplay, that's my vote.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
Spoilers.
What's the...
I feel like
I agree with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. That fucking sucks. Just the situation sucks.
But there wasn't much marketing behind it. I get that there was like a lot of nostalgia, but the last one sucked so bad. Like I thought
Project 8?
No, Ride was the last.
Oh, that doesn't count. Like a real
Wii game.
No, bullshit. That doesn't count.
It was on all consoles.
Yeah, but it wasn't like you didn't use a fucking controller like a Tony Hawk game. Like Project
this was called Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. It was a return to form.
Yes,
supposedly
that's true.
This was like if you made a bunch of shitty Metal Gear Solid games and then
this is like if Dirt Rally came out and it was a fucking arcade racer like Cruising USA.
This was if they released Rush 2.
Racing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Okay, that's
what. Okay, what's winner and runner up? That's the question because I think Tony Hawk and MGS5 runner up.
I could agree with that.
Sorry, Phil.
Whatever.
You know, Phil's
salty.
An emotion, and you don't. You can.
Your whole thing is like, I like this, but I also don't like this.
Because
how does that make any sense?
Do you understand what a disappointment is?
Yes.
It's not bad.
I'm disappointed in my like family members sometimes. That doesn't mean I want to fucking kill them or that I hate them.
Yeah.
They're still good people.
What disappointed me with Metal Gear Solid 5. Like there are these there's a lot I wanted out of it and there's a lot I did not get. And a lot of stuff I did get I didn't like.
The fast travel thing is inconvenient.
Phil, that's not the only thing.
I find myself finding finding different things to do on the way.
Were you let down by the ending?
Yes.
Were you disappointed in the ending?
I was disappointed.
When you beat the game and saw the ending, were you disappointed in that?
Well,
just answer the question. Yes or no.
Does disappointment come from a surprise? Because here's the thing: I saw this coming. I was just in denial.
Okay,
you were
in denial because you were disappointed.
You were disappointed
that's
how it was going to happen.
Okay,
so fine. If you liked all the gameplay elements, that's fine.
We all love Metal Gear Solid 5.
And I love everything about the story up till the ending.
It's a great game.
But like,
Metal Gear Solid 5 is the runner-up.
Runner-up, yes.
Calling it. Okay.
And again, Phil, I will give it the game. I'll give the game its justice.
That's exactly what I wanted to happen. And I don't mean that.
Sorry.
Phil is so mad. This is Phil's last podcast with us. He's going to start the Fuck Pixel Chicken podcast.
Johnny, that means you have to be our straight man from now on.
And we are moving on to favorite multiplayer game. We've got Rocket League. We've got Final Fantasy XIV, Heaven's Ward. We've got Rainbow Six Siege, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Splatoon, and MKX.
It's a pretty good category.
I'm going to take off Splatoon because I don't think any of us played it.
Nope.
Can I say, I'm going to take off Mortal Kombat X, but it's a great fucking game, and I wish there was another category for it to be a winner in. The only reason I'm taking it off is because, Phil, what are you doing?
He's tearing his dreams in hopes.
Phil is across the table.
Well, I feel bad.
In indie test, ripping up his 5-page argument he had for Metal Gear Solid 5.
So, Mortal Kombat X.
Disappointed.
Mortal Kombat X.
So, are you disappointed or do you just hate us?
Mortal Kombat X.
He's disappointed. Biggest disappointment of 2016 was this fucking podcast.
Mortal Kombat X.
Alright, Mortal Kombat X. So, it's a great game.
It could have been a stalemate. You know? It could have been. It didn't have to be the most disappointing game of the year. But
it's not
its
runner-up!
It didn't have to even be the runner-up.
Yeah, it had to be the runner-up.
Nothing else on the list would have worked.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5. Fucking
I mean, like
Metal,
I said, I
Mortal
wanted
Kombat
Bloodborne
X,
to win
Mortal Kombat
best
X.
Art, but you guys wanted Ori, so, you know.
All right,
Mortal Kombat X. Why does that not belong on this list?
Let me tell you, Mortal Kombat X doesn't do anything specifically great multiplayer-wise. You know, it's a great multiplayer game. It's a fighter. There's nothing special about it, but as a game, it's great. I just want to mention that I loved it.
Johnny, fight for Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy XIV is the dream expansion pack. Not a lot of MMOs. Basically, an MMO, it's vanilla launch. If it impresses people, good, but that doesn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
World of Warcraft came out, wasn't made yet, but it was popular.
Mm-hmm.
Burning Crusade came out, it was a fucking great expansion. It added another dimension, it added flying mounts, it added all this stuff, and it made World of Warcraft live. this is what Heaven's Ward is. It takes you to a beautiful setting. The story all of a sudden gets interesting. All of the music is incredible. The game got better than what was happening before it. And there was flying mounts now. It is a kick-ass multiplayer game. It's a gorgeous game, and it breaks a lot of MMO bullshit, like the grindiness and stuff. It's still a very welcoming MMO.
The name belongs on the list. Heavy. Hmm? The name belongs.
Well, I mean,
what would you delete? What would you eliminate?
I would say it's actually maybe the best, but I could get rid of it because it's hard to sell that to you guys.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's like, I completely get it. It's a quality MMO thing, but like, there's a different crowd for MMOs. Yeah, you know?
Man, Rocket League though took the whole nation by storm.
Rocket League, because it's fucking,
it's brilliant
because it is so simple but has so much depth.
Like,
it is. It's a very familiar thing. It's fucking soccer, but it's with cars and there's rockets. And it takes. I sat down with my wife today, and we play. And she's like, "I want to try Rocket League," and so we fired it up. And you know, within 10 seconds of playing it, she understood what it was. She sucked.
Yeah.
And I still suck at it. And I've played well over 100 matches, but like. The game has such it's pretty fresh as a it's been done before obviously, but like it's just like it's a fresh thing for me to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's
everything it does exceptionally
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
For me that's
the winner.
So I can knock off. So you know, we talked about what I like about Rainbow Six Siege. I think from a multiplayer shooter standpoint, it really sort of went back to Rainbow Six's roots, surprisingly.
It did something different, which I liked.
The original Rainbow Six was...
Oh, I know about the original.
Oh, like,
talking about Patriots, right?
the original... Yeah. I wish Patriots came out.
I did too.
I'm a fucking Patriot.
Yeah, me too.
fucking...
But, so, like, you know, it got really Call of Duty-like and arcadey by the end.
Wait, what did?
Sorry, Vegas.
Oh,
in a good.
Why are we talking about Vegas?
But then Rainbow Six Siege took it back to its roots of sort of a hardcore. It took it back to the theory, because every Tom Clancy game has a gameplay theory that is built around.
Rainbow Six's theory is that if you,
it's counter-terrorist,
bust a wall,
clean
and
through a,
can we
clean and sweep?
Can we take off? But Black Ops and.
I'm not going to lie here.
Oh, Black Ops is...
Black Ops 3 beats it for me.
Really?
I'm going to put... I would put Black Ops in
the I would too.
Okay.
I didn't think it was going to stand, so that's why...
Rocket League winner.
That's shocking.
Black Ops runner-up. Black Ops 3 was so refreshing.
That's my choice.
Yeah. Polished to death.
Yeah.
Super refreshing. Yeah. Great maps.
Black Ops 3, fantastic.
My favorite Call of Duty game. Probably. I mean, not from a campaign standpoint, that was shit, but who cares?
Boner Jams 03.
Boner Jams 03, that's my favorite mix.
All right, well, there's our favorite multiplayer game.
Boner Jams. Favorite multiplayer game is Rocket League winner with COD Blops 3 as the runner-up.
I'm sure some people who have no interest in Call of Duty would hear that and just alt F4 the punch.
Eh.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck!
Next up, we have favorite simulation. So this is
this
is basically anything that it simulates a thing. So like Custer's Revenge. So like Stroker 64,
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah. You know, Sunless Sea. Favorite sim, we've got NBA 2K16, MLB 15, Dirt Rally, Elite Dangerous, and Project Cars.
Mm.
So. Dirt Rally is probably, from how Stryker described it, going to be the winner.
It is brutally hard. Because
it's so damn realistic.
I mean, if we're talking about, most simulated type of game, we probably win.
This is the most simulated game.
Yeah.
Elite Dangerous is, it's my pick, but...
It's my pick, too.
It sounds like Dirt Rally was... I don't know.
Project Cars can go. It's cool, but
Elite Dangerous. I haven't played it, but from everything I've seen, I can totally understand that. NBA 2K16 to me is is winner or runner-up, having not played Elite Dangerous, just because it's a culmination. I feel like every year these games get better and better. It's incredibly realistic. It does so much stuff behind the scenes to refine the basketball simulation game. It's a leap forward for the series, and it's also just it's a great game. I mean, it's just a great game, and it's a great simulation. It does. You have to play realistic basketball and make realistic basketball plays against the computer.
I think that's right there. Yeah. That is the.
That's the.
But also, the controls are designed intuitively enough that, as somebody who I haven't played 2K16, I played like 4 or 5 years prior, yeah. But it's
pretty much the same.
It's intuitive enough that that I have a lot of fun, and I. Rarely played basketball, so like I the NBA 2K series is always like a sports game that if somebody were to offer me to play, I'd be like, oh yeah, I could play that.
Yeah,
but the rest of them I can't. What was special about MLB? Was it just a good MLB game this year?
MLB game.
I mean, it just
I'm just terrible at
this. The MLB the show, the series in general. You know, it's one of those series that's always going to be on the list if you're talking about favorite simulation. If you like baseball, I mean, it's super realistic. It's a great simulation.
Did they step up big this year?
They didn't, and that's why.
Oh, okay.
It deserves to be on there because it is a great sim, and I really enjoyed playing it. But
what's your pick for winner?
I'm fine with Elite Dangerous as the winner and NBA 2K16 as the runner-up. I'm not going to make an argument against Elite Dangerous.
What about Dirt Rally?
Yeah.
Dirt Rally...
Like, so compare 2K15 to 2K16, and then Dirt Rally, which came out in nowhere. Yeah,
Dirt Rally would be my... I mean, if it was my...
Like a better
me personally, game. It would be NBA 2K16 and then Dirt Rally at second place. I mean, we're talking about my favorite sim.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about, like, the best sim.
I obviously only have a hat in the game with Elite Dangerous, but I mean, what that is, it's a really, really in-depth, really pretty awesome space sim, which is, yeah. I mean, something that...
It's one of the coolest sims.
It's so fucking cool, man.
I fucking love that game. I have an Oculus Rift, and I have that game, and I only played it a little bit because it's so hard to set up.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to control on the Rift. But it's so cool, and you just look around the dock station, and you're like, oh my god.
It is.
Oh my god.
Oh my Mary Sue.
Oh my damn!
Oh my god!
The coolest part to me, the coolest sim part.
Coolest sim part for me. Let me say this: is when you're coming out of like warp space to a fucking sun,
yeah.
And you just go, the sun just goes right in front of your face, and you're like. Fucking a million miles away from the sun, but it looks like you're gonna crash into it.
In VR, it's terrifying.
Because it goes.
You can crash.
Pull up a fucking video.
Okay.
You can crash into the sun, right?
No.
I thought you could.
No, you can't.
How dare you?
You can get really close to it and burn the fuck up, but you can't crash into it. So maybe you can now in Horizons.
My favorite part of the game,
okay,
is how you can turn off your ship engine and sit still, so no one can track your ship. Because it's like an MMO in a way, like EVE Online. But you fly your cruiser around, and you can take down space pirates, which are other online players that have killed other online players and taken their cargo. So you can kill people and take their cargo, get wanted, and hide in some faraway low cool security spell. System. Now, this is the thing. You still need to make a living. So as a space pirate, you can hide somewhere in deep space. Someone comes out of nowhere, your ship's turned on, your cockpit is icing over. Because it's so cold in space.
Yeah.
And you hear the sounds and you're breathing, like breath and stuff. And you turn your ship back on, all of a sudden he sees you on your tracker. But he's fucked. You got the advantage. You just fly up and blow him away.
It's kind of really cool. Yeah.
It also models
the Milky Way.
Yeah. I've been super interested in the game from watching
it. It's just not, fortunately and unfortunately, like EVE Online, it's not that welcoming of a game. You have to be good at flight sims.
Yeah, right.
And just really want to delve into the depth of the physics and all that. So I couldn't get into it, but it's so cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Well,
I couldn't
find that would win for me. So it's up to you, Striker. Dirt Rally or 2K? I think for
Runner-up. I'm fine with 2K being winner.
Yeah, Oh, what? Winner? Overall winner?
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I was thinking... I don't know, because Elite Dangerous...
I'm fine with Elite Dangerous being the winner.
All right.
Okay, runner-up to NBA 2K6.
Yeah. Elite Dangerous is the winner. NBA 2K is the runner-up for favorite
with
Sam.
With Dirt Rally just right on the heels. Mm-hmm. Fucking right there.
You okay with this one?
You yeah, I feel like fun. You love Elite Dangerous? You love
it space. Sounds Phil awesome. Loves Dirt Rally.
He does. He loves... Anyways, we're on to favorite combat system and controls. We've got MGS5, Witcher 3, Mad Max, Batman, Arkham Knight, MKX, Rainbow Six Siege, and Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Metal Gear Solid
5. Yeah, it's got to be Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Runner up.
Fuck yeah.
Runner up, not Mad Max, because button prompts get...
Not Witcher 3. Fuck
you up. Really?
Not Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way it controls particularly well.
I find it complete... It's a little wonky. I like it, but I get mm-hmm.
It's a little wonky.
I would almost say...
I didn't put down Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodborne's my favorite Souls game when it comes to controls. It's fast-paced. Yeah. It's aggressive.
I would almost say MKX. I love the way that game feels.
I'm not.
No?
I love it. I think that MKX would be good.
I think it's one of the best feeling, like, fight... Just to play...
And there's so much variation with the characters.
There's so much impact. Special moves. Yeah, the way it moves, the way that it, like the way that the responsiveness I feel of everything, like it feels just so snappy, so
impactful.
Just, yeah,
just satisfying. Like when you get a good combo or something, or just.
So I've narrowed it down because I don't think the other ones.
Yeah, close. I think that was.
I know. So MKX versus Bloodborne.
I think Bloodborne's a little cumbersome.
I thought it was less cumbersome than Dark Souls by far.
I agree with that.
Dark Souls is very clunky.
I definitely agree
and sluggish.
With that.
Mm-hmm. Demon's Souls was a little more fast paced, but Bloodborne, I loved it because I felt like the cumbersome element was lifted, and I could just quick dodge, like yeah. You know, endless stamina.
Yeah,
you
can but
quickly
I
get back into slicing up dudes. You were in their face, aggressive, just slicing, get away, get back in, slice. You don't have to like parry. You don't have to block.
There's parts that I still don't like, just fundamentally like about, and there.
Have you gotten into a Souls game yet?
Yeah.
Oh,
I got really deep into one.
Dark Souls one.
Yeah, Dark Souls one. I also played Demon's Souls also.
Okay.
For like 20 hours. I haven't played two at all.
I really like the way that Bloodborne plays compared to the other Souls games and other games of the kind of that sort of genre, I guess. But for me, my favorite this year was MGS5, and I gotta say that Mortal Kombat X was...
I just think MKX just feels so fucking good. What about you, Phil?
MKX does feel great, and I do want to talk about... I will talk a little bit about the Witcher 3 combat, because I thought that it was easier to pick up than the Witcher 2 combat,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was way more satisfactory when you got in a kill... But I'm okay with this decision, and I do think the MKX flows really well.
Yeah, I agree with you on Witcher 3. I just feel like compared to other games in the genre, it still feels a little outdated in a way because of the way the controls are a little sluggish. Just some of the... And some of like the way the weapons feel when you hit an enemy isn't quite as satisfying as maybe some other games.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just a little bit of it.
It might be my closet gore hound tendencies... Yeah, yeah.
Closet. At least you're admitting it now.
Yeah. Closet. Closet gore tendencies. That's always satisfying.
But man, getting a brutality in Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah, I love.
I just love the way it feels. Are we okay with that? Are we okay?
Yeah,
with
I'm okay with
MKX.
That.
Right?
Okay. I'm outvoted, but yeah.
I'm sorry, Johnny. Hey, you have like a ton
of
winners.
I have no problems with it.
All right, next we're moving on to actually a discussion piece because none of us know what the fuck.
Okay.
Phil, I'm going to remind you, Akira came out in fucking 1980 or something.
So, this piece is going to be Phil's favorite comic series of 2015. He has nominated Akira
and promptly got rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got rid of it, but I got like I got two games. One's a runner-up. What the
two comics?
Fuck my notes.
The floor is yours.
You ripped them up, Phil.
No. They... Okay, here we go.
Okay,
go. Okay, so Imperium. It's my favorite book of the year.
Wait for the drop before you start.
So Imperium, it is published by Valiant. Valiant being probably my favorite publisher of the year, probably my favorite publisher ever. They're doing everything that Marvel and DC is doing. They're just doing it better. And Marvel's doing fine. I mean, I have nothing against what they're doing, and I hear DC's getting a little bit better creatively. But I love almost every single book by Valiant I've read this year, and I think it is incredible. But the best book is Imperium. It's written by Josh. Forgive me for mispronouncing the name. Dysart. The art is by Doug Berthright or Braithright.
Funny.
White.
Doug Funny.
Doug That's Funny. We're just going to say Doug Funny. And it revolves around Toyu Harada, who is this incredibly powerful psychic. He once worked within the shadows, conspiring to take over the world in his, as he calls, battle for utopia. Well, now he's out in the open. And the entire, every nation on the planet wants him dead. He is a wanted man. He doesn't give a fuck. He goes on the offensive. He recruits people with powers. He basically takes over Somalia and makes it into his capital. Makes it into his capital for his aimed to be perfect utopia. So this is a guy who is going to make the world a better place, no matter what. He's going to go to appalling lengths to do what he thinks.
Appalling lengths?
Yes.
What does that mean?
He will say, for example,
kill a child.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he so will.
You if, like if, this if, if smut? It's,
he if it's in the name of advancing science, advancing humanity, he will, for example, take an innocent pregnant refugee in, deceitfully take her into his laboratory and have one of his scientists put her under comatose and say dissect her.
Phil, this man is just
this weird. This is really weird.
This is he's willing to do for his mission statement. Okay, okay?
He's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy.
Okay, all right.
But he is still a great character.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds actually.
And at the same time, you have this guy who is morbid. He's basically stomping all over the UN. But well, here's the thing. Here's what he also does. No. God damn it. This is what he also does. Basically, he tells every politician on the planet to go fuck themselves. He stomps all over the UN, sends out aid to whatever country he wants.
Sends out AIDS?
Yeah. Aid.
You know,
no, like
to get his work done.
The disease.
No. He sends out AIDS.
Yeah, sure. AIDS. The disease. Mm-hmm. No, he does these terrible things, but on the other hand, he's also doing a lot of these other good things because he believes that no matter what, he's doing the right thing.
Just like literally every dictator, fascist.
Yeah, this is a guy who is, but here's the thing. Harda is, he's responsible for his own undoing, and he's always responsible for his own undoing. Mm-hmm. There's another book I read where he was the antagonist, and nobody defeated him. He only ever defeated himself, and that's what makes him such an interesting character. Imperium is full of really great twists, really intelligent writing. It takes place in a superhero universe, but it is not a superhero book. It is a science fiction, a political science fiction. Best book of the year. The story isn't finished yet. This was the first volume. It will end, I think, with Harda blowing up Stryker River and Johnny for that. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish.
But I absolutely love it.
He wants that to happen.
So, yeah.
So that's your favorite comic of the year?
That's my
favorite. That actually sounds quite
fascinating.
I've actually heard
of this, and I was thinking about reading it. And the other one I've heard of, I just want to ask you about off the cuff, since it's your hour. Saga. Have you read Saga?
Yeah, I've been reading the first. I've actually read every volume up to.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
People seem to really like it.
It is really good. It is an awesome book. Mm-hmm. It is a space opera for adults. It delves into parenthood. Brian K. Vaughan is
love Parenthood.
Yeah.
I just burped.
Delves into parenthood, like war. Delves into a lot of themes, but the creature designs are really fantastic. They're like the creature designs are like unlike anything I've really considered or imagined before. That's one thing that can be said about it.
So Phil, was this pick hard for you?
That hard at all?
No,
I knew
far and away.
I know what the runner up is for sure, and that is Invisible Republic. River, you love Battlestar Galactica.
I fucking love it.
Yeah, I did too. Striker, so did you watch Battlestar Galactica?
I watched the first...
Yeah, you watched like half of the miniseries.
Yeah.
Anyway, Johnny...
Borrowed it from River.
Yeah, I loved it. So if you are a Battlestar Galactica fan and you are interested in taking a peek into comic books...
I've been wanting to for about 3 years now.
A great start is the book known as Invisible Republic.
I want to be so bad.
Invisible
Republic?
The Invisible Republic. So this is a great... It's not a space opera. This is a intelligent, dialogue-oriented science fiction. Okay, so... So the human race has gotten to space travel and colonization and different planets, right? Well, this takes place on this certain moon.
Right.
That's rotating around a planet.
Io.
I like the art style. It's very classic, but...
Yeah, awesome. Very noirish.
Ooh, so he's looking at Imperium.
Oh.
Oh, no, you know.
Invisible Republic.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. So the regime of this leader named Arthur McBrien has just fallen. It's just... it has just been disbanded. And it's about a journalist who's trying to find out about the rise and fall of this guy. That's what this story is about. It's about the rise and fall of Arthur McBride. And he discovers a hidden manuscript, or a hidden journal, revolving around this cousin of his that is completely off the books and nobody really knows about. And she's telling her story. And what it does is it reveals all this dirt about this Arthur McBride character. And this is only the first volume. It's still a brand new series. And it is everything you're looking for if you are not looking for, say, if you're not looking for a conventional superhero book. Invisible Republic is right up your alley. Same with Imperium. There's more for me to be said about Imperium because that's definitely my favorite comic book of the year. But Invisible Republic is no slouch.
Cool. Excellent. And we move on to our penultimate category, which
Favorite action movie.
Favorite action movie.
When you said penultimate, I thought you were talking about...
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, I fucked up.
Favorite action movie is Mad Max Fury Road, Ant-Man, Mission Impossible 5, 007 Spectre, and Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mm.
So let me say first that I think that 2015, as a year for movies, it was all right. As a year for action movies, it was probably one of the best ever.
Oh, yeah.
Mission Impossible 5.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's far and away my favorite in the series.
God, it was so good. I watched it again too long ago.
It's so... Like, as the kind of movie that it is, it's like, it's almost perfect.
Yeah.
Every single action scene is inventive, keeps you on the edge of your seat, you follow the plot well, the villain is cool, the way they get the villain is cool, mm-hmm. the girl is cool, and not overly sexualized or forced like I felt she kind of was in Ghost Protocol.
Mm-hmm. She was a badass.
She was awesome, and she's in the next one, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love this one.
For me, Mission Impossible wins it.
I can't have a problem with any of the decisions that you guys made. Because this is going to be so hard for me to decide. Mission Impossible 5, I love so damn much. And Mad Max just kicked my ass.
Mad Max is my favorite movie of the year. Like,
Can we take Ant-Man and Spectre off?
I love those two movies as a quality.
Yeah,
it's great.
Ant-Man was really good.
Ant-Man was good. I really enjoyed it as a Marvel movie.
Very funny.
How do we feel about Star Wars?
Star Wars is my favorite movie overall. Thankfully,
Star Wars. So I think Mad Max is like arguably like the perfect action movie.
I think Mad Max is the winner for me.
And Mad Max is my movie of the year. And Star Wars, I watched a second time. As an action movie, I loved it. You know, the plot has some issues, but it's a wonderful way to introduce great characters, which is mm-hmm. what it has.
Mm-hmm.
It handled Star Wars in its aesthetic.
But as an action movie?
Brilliantly. The action was great. The lightsaber fight scene... Okay, so personally, the lightsaber fight scene in Star Wars was the fight scene of my dreams.
Yeah.
It was
fucking great.
Two people who don't know how
lightsabers work. Yeah, it was so raw.
Just slugging it out, and then you know Rey picks it up, and then she doesn't know it that well either. But she kind of beats the guy because he's fucking wounded and not that good to begin with. I love it. Kylo Ren.
Yeah, that was so
Kylo
awesome.
Ren is the best character in the movie, I feel. He's already well fleshed out, and he sucks, and it's amazing. He he's got so many weaknesses. Rey needed more weaknesses, and he got them all. he, to me, is like, I'm going to make a guesstimation here. So if you've ever watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, you got the two main characters. You've got Aang, and then you've got Zuko, who's the guy who's after him. He's a douchebag, he's whiny, he's annoying, he's on the enemy side. He's the only antagonist for a lot of the series. But he keeps failing. He can't get the Avatar. It's his goal to kill him. He wants to kill him, but he can't get it. And then by the end of, before the end of it, he has his retribution and you know, he's one of the main characters. He's the same age as them. He's the same skill level as them. I think Kylo Ren's the same thing. He's the same age and skill level already as Rey. Mm-hmm. I think that by the time episode 2 or 3 comes around, he'll be one of the main characters.
Kylo Ren?
Yeah, that's my guess.
My guess too.
And that sounds wonderful.
Fair enough.
His actor is great. Fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
His lightsaber is the coolest fucking thing. I thought it was so lame when I first saw it. And then it's the most aesthetically badass thing.
So I will say this. Star Wars was my favorite movie that I watched this year. Mad Max was my favorite action movie. Mission Impossible is my runner-up. That's the way I feel about it.
I can get down with that.
For me, it's Mad Max is my best movie because it's perfect, I think. For what it is, for what it does, it's perfect and then some. It knows exactly what it wants to be, and still, while it handles all of it brilliantly, it still surprises you.
Yeah.
So as an action movie, it's perfect, but to me, that makes it, as a movie, better. I think this movie will always remember. And Star Wars 2. But Star Wars has problems in writing.
I have literally zero problems with Star Wars.
So my problems in writing were with it, which I overlooked. I saw the movie twice, so I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm not one of those people. Because there was a lot of people
stupid
about it.
I understand that there are flaws, but I just...
I wish that they didn't blow the Death Star 3.0 up.
Well, here's the thing. We can definitely get... that's one of the reasons why I don't want to get into great detail, because I do want you to see it first, unless you're totally...
Oh, I know. I've it's been spoiled already.
Oh, okay. But you haven't seen it.
I would be fine, honestly, taking Star Wars off the list as a favorite action movie.
Yeah, because that's almost a completely different conversation.
I think it's Mad Max, Mission Impossible.
The reason why...
I love Star Wars as an action movie.
If we decide to go with Mad Max as the favorite action film of the year, I'd be fine with that. The reason why I love Mission Impossible 5 so much is because it had all this great action, and then it became such an espionage spy movie.
Yeah, I love that too.
That's why
I love that too.
Yeah, now that I think about Mission Impossible, I'm like, fuck.
Well, okay, so I think it's obvious that it's Mad Max because they went to Namibia. They tried. It's nothing you'll ever see ever again.
No.
Mission Impossible is a perfected formula that we've seen before and love. Mad Max was a reinventing of the wheel. It was taking an idea from the 70s and doing something that was a dream.
It's
an impossible
movie. It did something that nothing else was doing.
Yeah.
Not even close. I mean, it just was... its own you could take Mad Max outside of the special effects and technology involved. You could take Mad Max Fury Road and put it almost in any decade, just because it's just a timeless movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie that could exist anywhere because it's so unique and different. I mean, Mission Impossible, it took, like you said, it took kind of a concept that has been done before, and it perfected it, in my opinion. But I just got to give the nod to Mad Max.
What I absolutely love is that we are giving the nod that Mission Impossible deserves. I browse a lot of movie and films, Reddit, subreddits and forums and stuff. Nobody's talking about Mission Impossible 5.
When it came out,
it's doing well in the box office, and it's pretty good. But they're putting it with Ghost Protocol, and while Ghost Protocol's good... I thought that it was everything Ghost Protocol was trying to be, but they learned so much from what worked in Ghost Protocol that it just blasted.
Infinitely better than Ghost Protocol.
And you have to consider how how impressive that motorcycle fight was. Like,
Tom
Cruise nicked his knee on the road.
Yeah.
That was just
and
like,
he just looked down and
he's just like, all right, that's cool.
The final knife fight and stuff in the, or the, I think they had knives, right? When they were in the city at night.
Yes.
Really well shot. Yes. The lighting, the lighting in the pillars. The movie was brilliant.
The opera scene.
The opera.
That was one of the greatest.
The transforming musical instruments.
That was probably
God damn.
The best.
The movie was good.
I watched it like a week ago. Again.
I think that movie will live on in sort of like a John Wick kind of way where people will. Like a year
John
or two.
Wick.
I just saw
it. Was John Wick 2015?
No, it was last year.
I just saw that movie. Elizabeth was like, "You've never seen it. You have to see it right now."
Fantastic.
I was like,
action movie.
Okay, and so we watched it, and oh my god,
fucking so good.
I saw 20 minutes
of
it, and I really loved it. I regret the fact that I didn't watch the whole thing all the way through.
Watch it,
but
We can't talk.
I can rant
and rave about. We have to move on.
Yeah, I can rant and rave about the opera scene, but
Mad Max Fury Road, favorite action film, Mission Impossible 5, runner up, and all right. That brings us.
Start real quick.
Yeah,
Furious 7 was pretty good.
Okay, yeah,
it was
pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
That brings us, fellas, to our overall game of the year, 2015.
Mad Max is on here.
Overall favorite game of the year.
We've got The Witcher 3, we've got Bloodborne, Life is Strange, MGS 5, Rocket League, and Mad Max.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about why Witcher 3 is my favorite game.
What do we all think is... One sec. What do we all think is best game?
Oh, yeah. Round Robin, everybody's favorite. And everybody's runner-up.
Phil, go ahead.
Okay.
Just real quick, list it.
So, okay. Explain it. Great, fine.
Just say it.
So, Witcher 3.
Okay.
Runner-up.
And the runner-up is... Damn it.
Really?
I was going to say...
You're shocking. Metal Gear's on there. Bloodborne's on there.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
I'm not going to say... I already said it's not the best game of the year, so I wanted to be honest.
Not even your runner-up?
It's not my runner-up.
Phil, you're surprising me.
Okay, so...
You're breaking my heart, man.
It's the only other game I played from beginning to end, though. So
that's fine.
Witcher 3,
heard, you know,
and sure, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay,
but I just want to say I'm perfectly okay if it doesn't wind up on the runner-up.
This is just for you. This is just our personal thing. We're just round robining right now.
Okay, so the reason why.
Hold on,
round robining. We're getting you're fine.
I'm getting really hungry. I have a headache, so I'm fucking up.
Okay,
Stryker.
So. Witcher 3, number 1, and Bloodborne, number 2.
Witcher 3 and Rocket League.
Witcher 3 and Bloodborne.
So it comes down to the runner-ups.
I'm not going to fight for Rocket League, because I know it's not going to get runner-ups. So.
I'm going to fight for MGS 5.
Did we just do this?
So, I don't really have a case to make.
Remember what after fucking, like... OST or something?
The thing is, by the time we've gotten to this point,
true.
We have just discussed these games.
Yeah.
Everything about them.
You now know, you dear listeners, now know exactly why we like these games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can say a few things about how I think out of all the Choose Your Adventure, Choose Your Own Path games, as of 2016, or the best example of 2016, I think, is The Witcher 3.
Let me say this: I think that Witcher 3 is far and away the best game of the year.
I think that
it's one of the best adventure games, best RPG adventure games, action RPG, whatever you want to call it, ever.
Yeah,
ever made
from a quest writing fan, from somebody who appreciates an RPG from its writing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I've played a lot of old games.
The quality...
It's hard to make good writing in a big-budget new game.
Yeah.
It's hard because you can't shoehorn in text. You can't make sales with that kind of thing. It's hard. And they fucking did it well.
The quality holds up through... I mean, every side mission... I was almost waiting to play a side mission in that game that wasn't up to the quality of previous missions. Like, I was like, okay, there's got to be one. All right, there's
got to
be something that's just mediocre, just a side mission that doesn't have anything different or cool about it. And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
The whole time I played the game.
Quest had its place, and there was so many.
So much great world building and things that just...
Character development.
Yeah, character development. And one thing that I love about Witcher that games just don't do is that there was so much in that game that was there specifically to build the world, and it wasn't there for any other reason. It was there like as if it was just, you know, a world that normal people are living in. It wasn't there as just a plot device. Like I would go talk to a guy, you know, for a quest or something, or just go up to like someone and talk, and they'd be like, "Yeah, you know, blah 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 happened earlier today." Anyway, you know, and then they talk about your quest, and it's like, well, why did he say that? Is that going to lead to a quest later on? And no, it's just there it's because just there. He's a character.
There's so much flavor in the game.
But so what made it my game of the year was, everything that works in the game. But two big standoutish things were two specific quests. The Bloody Baron quest, which was one of the early on quests.
Oh yeah.
Took you on 20 different loops.
Oh my god.
And the continuation of it with the witches. The witches show up. I from the trailer I was like, oh, they're gonna be like the spooky witches, and you're gonna kill them or something, and you know they're gonna be simple. They're this terrifying force, even terrifying for Geralt. So Geralt's unsettled. Like, you shouldn't go here, you're fucked. And so they shouldn't have went, and they did, and they were almost fucked. But then, like, when you come back, like, I didn't think, I was like, well, are they just gonna leave this mysterious? I'd love that, but like. He kind of told him, "I'll be back to kick your ass." But I'm like, "Well, why would the main story ever need that?"
Mm-hmm.
And the way they bring back, right? Oh, buddy, that is so good.
That was really good.
I swear,
I would spend like 5 minutes contemplating on which line of dialogue that I wanted to choose because the consequences and the scale of them were so dire. And I constantly go back. I constantly think, oh, God. I wish I made a different decision.
And you care so much about the characters that you don't want to make the wrong decision for that reason either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like other games where you're like, I don't want to make this decision because maybe the game will suck later and I'll have to do this shit.
Everything, yeah. Everything has actual gravitas.
Yes.
I was afraid that I was afraid that somebody like Triss or Yennefer was going to die during the fight at Kaer Morhen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to happen, and then thankfully it didn't.
God, and the oh my God, the Witcher contracts were all like super fun. Oh, yeah, there's some really interesting stuff in there. Mm-hmm.
It was a Witcher dream game. It really was. Like if you play 2 and even 1 or read the books, you see all the promise, and you know what you want to happen. But yeah, it just really works.
It was so good that it was almost overwhelming.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot to it. So. Well, fellas, I think that's it. I think Game of the Year 2015 is Witcher 3.
It is Witcher 3.
And the runner-up is Bloodborne. So congratulations to all of the winners.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations to Johnny.
Yeah, congratulations to Johnny, the real winner, you motherfucker.
You're the real winner.
Anyways.
Sold all the games.
Thanks for listening. I know this has been a 3.5-hour long Death March Fuck You podcast, but we had to do it, and we'll do it again if we have to.
And while you're at it, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter, @pixel_chicken. Send your hate mail to Johnny, or love letters now that he's
the overlord of...
pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. Sure. And next week.
Next week we are going to do a look forward to the year 2016. Kind of what we're looking forward to the most. What we think is going to be awesome. What we think is going to suck.
What we hope to happen.
What we hope to happen.
What we don't want to happen.
I don't want to lose Phil.
Yeah,
I'll be here next week.
Good. All right,
let's start
with a gun.
Thanks for listening, and see you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so hungry.
Me too.